Okay, tonight, as Brother Huey said, it's biblical prophecy, and tonight's part number 10. And there's still some more to come. Amen? Tonight we're going to be looking at the two witnesses. And the two witnesses, who are they? And we touched briefly on this in part 8, but tonight we're going to have an in-depth look. Amen? So please get your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 11 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. And as usual, I've got lots of scripture because no one can complain about too much scripture, amen? So Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this wondrous prophecy we have just read, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, in the book of Revelation, there is many prophecies about what's to transpire in the future, Lord. And Lord, we know by the times that this is, we are in the last times, Lord, and this prophecy is very close to becoming into fruition. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would speak to us and tell us about these two witnesses, Lord, that we may understand, Lord. And we thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. So the two witnesses, who are they? The only thing we know for sure is that they are prophets who proclaim God's word in Jerusalem during the first part of the Antichrist's reign. As to their exact identity, there has been much speculation. Are they Moses and Elijah, or Enoch and Elijah? But God does not reveal their identity. So it's obvious that we don't need to know, amen? All we need to know is the work that they do. By calling them the two olive trees and the two candlesticks, these witnesses are associated with the prophecy in the book of Zechariah. So if you'd like to bookmark where you are in Revelation, and please turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 2. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 2. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 2, And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain? And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, and I said unto him, what be these two olive branches through which the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Zechariah saw a gold candlestick with seven lamps. It had a bowl on the top of the lamp with seven pipes to the lamps. And there were two olive trees standing on either side of the lampstand. Unlike the lampstand in the tabernacle, this lampstand did not need to be refilled. Every day, as the oil flowed directly from the olive trees to the two golden pipes, to the bowl, and from there fed the lamps. In the media context of Zechariah chapter 4, the vision referred to the building of the second temple by Zerubbabel. This task would be accomplished by God's Spirit, and Zerubbabel and the builders needed to trust God to yield to him in the midst of their many and fierce enemies. The candlestick in Zechariah's vision signifies Christ and Christ's witness on earth. And in that day was Israel. The Jewish temple was to testify of God's truth to the nations. But the second temple was never the light that God intended. The rabbis had corrupted the teaching of God's word by their traditions and rejected Christ when he came. And then that temple was destroyed in 70 AD. The ever-flowing oil signifies the unlimited and continual supply of God's Spirit to his people to accomplish his will. As it is explained in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, not by might nor by power, but my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. There is no lack of power and wisdom in Christ. It is continually available to all those who abide in him. God's work can only be accomplished by God's power. Nothing in this Christian life and ministry can be accomplished rightly and acceptably by the flesh. But anything can be accomplished by the Spirit, in the Spirit. Amen? The two olive trees are said to be the two anointed ones. And this points directly to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 4. It signifies the two anointed prophets are God's lights in a dark world. In the case of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, they are described not as one candlestick, but as two. Revelation chapter 11 verse 4 says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. The two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11 will encourage the rebuilding of the third temple during the tribulation, as Haggai and Zechariah did in the time of the second temple. It says there in Revelation that they will witness for 1260 days, or 42 months, or 3.5 years. In spite of the Antichrist covenant and lies, and the fact that the Jews accept him and his false prophet as their Messiah, and in spite of the fact that the world follows him, these prophets boldly witness for God. And it will doubtless be very frustrating to the Antichrist and his followers to hear them preaching and not be able to do anything about it for 3.5 years. The Bible tells us that they witnessed during the first half of Daniel's 70th week. The 3.5 years of their witness cannot refer to the last half of the tribulation, as some commentators assume, because if these witnesses died at the end of the second half of Daniel's week, it would mean that they would die only moments before Christ's return. And in Revelation 11, chapter 14, tells us that says a third woe follows the death and resurrection of the witnesses. And we know that this woe is composed of the seven vile judgments, and this is the great tribulation. So, what is their message? They will witness of the one true and living God. And he calls them my two witnesses. They will witness to the fact there is one God and Creator, and that He is a holy God who loves righteousness and hates sin. They will witness of the soon establishment of God's kingdom on earth. They will proclaim, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand." They will witness against man's sin and call mankind to repentance. Just as Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7, they too will preach the same message. Matthew chapter 4 verse 17 says, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And like Israel's prophets of old, the two witnesses will doubtless rebuke Israel for her stiff-necked rebellion and for rejecting her own Messiah. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3, God tells us they are clothed in sackcloth. Their sackcloth clothing signifies repentance and mourning for sin, and is fitting attire for this message. We see in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5, when Jonah preached to the people in the city of Nineveh, Jonah preached that God would destroy them in their city, but they repented and everyone put on sackcloth. It says, "From the greatest of them even to the least of them." You don't have to turn there, but Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands.' Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not." With the two witnesses clothed in sackcloth, we see the folly of the contemporary philosophy according to which Christians dress like the world in order to reach the world. This is just confusion. They will also doubtless witness of the Lamb of God, who is symbolized by the lambs that will be sacrificed on the Jewish altar in the newly built third temple in Jerusalem. They will witness of the soon coming Messiah, and they will rebuke Israel for rejecting Jesus as the Messiah. The Bible also says that they will have power to kill their enemies with fire. Revelation chapter 11 verse 5 says, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Jesus rebuked James and John when they wanted to destroy unbelievers with fire. Chapter 9 verse 54 says, "And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." But these Jewish witnesses during the tribulation are at liberty to burn up anyone who resists them. The fire proceeds from their mouths. Nowhere else in Scripture do we see anything like this. Elijah called down fire on his enemies, but the fire did not proceed from his mouth. It came directly from heaven. Revelation chapter 11 verse 5 says, "If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies." It does not say that something like unto fire proceedeth out as if it were fire from their mouths. So there's no hint of any that what John is describing is symbolic. These two witnesses also have power to send plagues. Revelation chapter 11 verse 6, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. This reminds us of Moses, who brought 10 different plagues upon Egypt in Exodus chapter 8 through to chapter 11. There was the plague of turning waters to blood, the plague of frogs, there was lice and flies and myriad on the livestock, flames on man and beast, very grievous hail, locusts, darkness, and the death of firstborn sons. The two witnesses will most likely use more than 10 plagues, as it was with Moses. The Bible tells us the two witnesses will smite the earth with all plagues as oft as they will. The Bible doesn't say how many plagues, but it does say they will have power to stop the rain for 3.5 years. But then God does tell us their ministry will come to an end. But nothing happens to them until their ministry is complete. All things are under the sovereign control of God, even the devil and the Antichrist. In spite of the Antichrist's worldwide power and massive military might, he cannot harm these prophets until their work is finished. When their testimony is complete, the Bible says the beast will kill them. Revelation chapter 11 verse 7 says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." The God tells us here the beast will make war with them. This may be a spiritual battle that is witnessed by the whole world. The Antichrist kills the two witnesses and leaves their bodies lying in the street in Jerusalem. And they are killed in such a manner that their bodies are intact. Revelation chapter 11 verse 8 says, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. There also our Lord was crucified." And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations. Revelation chapter 11 verse 8, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." The world will rejoice greatly at the death of the two witnesses. It will be the topic of conversation throughout the world. There will be wild, drunken parties in celebration of their death. And incredibly, people will buy presents for each other. They will be so happy. Revelation chapter 11 verse 10 says, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." The technology will allow the world to witness this event already as it exists. And we have covered this in the previous message. We live in a wild world, a wired world, and it's perfect preparation for the fulfillment of this amazing prophecy and the events described in the Word of God. The unsaved will be deluded into thinking that the Antichrist has succeeded in conquering God's witnesses, and therefore they will think that he is stronger than God. Likewise, when Jesus was crucified and buried, it appeared that he had been overcome by the world and the devil, and that his testimony had fallen to the ground. But those who believed God's word knew that the final chapter had not been written. From a human perspective, it sometimes appears that God loses battles. But those who believe his word know that it is impossible for him to be defeated. Amen? The spiritual blindness of the people dwelling on the earth at this time will be shocking. Even though the events that they are witnessing were prophesied clearly in Scripture, and even though the book of Revelation has been translated into all the world's major languages, and even though the people are warned by God's prophets in that day, they still rejoice at the deaths. Being willfully blind to the fact that the same Bible that described the two witnesses' testimony and death also describes their resurrection. But this is no different from the blindness of people today who can look at the complexity and beauty of creation and yet believe in evolution. Jerusalem is called that great city, or the great city. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Jerusalem is Israel's largest city. In 1948, the year the modern state of Israel was created, the population of Jerusalem was approximately 165,000. Today it has grown to approximately 874,000. Jews make up 75% of Jerusalem's population. There is also about 3 million tourists that visit each year, mostly comprised of Jews and evangelical and fundamentalist Christians. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, which we just read, Jerusalem is likened to Sodom and Gomorrah and Egypt. Sodom and Gomorrah signifies immorality in general and homosexuality in particular. Since 2002, Jerusalem has hosted gay pride parades. In June this year, Tel Aviv hosted its 21st annual gay pride parade, attended by an estimated 250,000 people. The parade culminates in a week-long gay pride celebration. A permanent lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual centre opened in Tel Aviv in 2008. Israel's tourism ministry markets the city's worldwide as the premier LGBT tourism destination. And 78% of Israelis support some sort of same-sex marriage. Egypt signifies rebellion and pride, as exemplified by Pharaoh of old, who mocked Moses and refused to obey Moses as God. After 3.5 days, the two witnesses will rise from the dead and ascend to heaven. Revelation chapter 11, verse 11 says that, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. It is the Spirit of God that gives them life. This is the same voice that called John to heaven in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 says, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. The two witnesses ascend in the cloud just as Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Amen. It is a cloud of resurrection glory. Those on earth who previously rejoiced at their death will witness their resurrection and ascension and will fear. I would imagine 3.5 days people would still be partying and celebrating of their death. Imagine how they will feel, having rejoiced greatly at the deaths of these prophets and having thought that the Antichrist was victorious and that the God of the two witnesses had lost, only to find out they were deluded and that their hope was in vain. And in Revelation chapter 11, verse 13, we see a great earthquake after the witnesses were resurrected. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe come quickly. This is one of the five different earthquakes that are mentioned in Revelation. And the earthquake here we just read destroys 1/10 of the city, killing 7,000 men. Those who are not killed give glory to God. It might be at this point that the Jewish remnant is converted. Amen? And we may be looking at that next time I'm up here. In conclusion, God is in control. Amen? We as born-again believers have absolutely nothing to fear about these events. Why not? Because we will be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. But the people around us at work, unsaved family members and friends, will be caught up in these events. As we've heard before, God has left us here for a purpose. He has left us to preach the gospel to all the world. We need to make sure we don't miss any opportunities, that we don't miss any open doors that are presented to us. We're not to be scared to share the gospel. Don't fear men, fear God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell."